Welcome to Badgedamia, a podcast so educational two professors could be hosting it. Hi, I'm Dr. Danielle Dickenbue, and joining me is Dr. Bill Henningman.
Welcome, everybody, to Badgedamia. This week, we have a returning guest, Kim Hanna. As a reminder, she is a UNI alum, director of the development for the College of Education. She's also a fan of graphic tees. So if you do not follow her on Instagram, she is doing a, is it 12 Days of Christmas with the
12 Days of Christmas remix, where I show off one of my many holiday graphic tees every day.
I love it.
It's to the 12 Days of Christmas. So today was 5 Die Hard movies.
I like it.
Nice.
So if you recall, Kim was actually a guest host one time when Danielle couldn't be here. And so I felt like we had robbed Kim of a chance to just be a guest. And she's super funny and she's got lots of opinions about lots of stuff. And so I thought this would be great to have her on here for the super long episode. You may be asking yourself, how are they going to fit 2 episodes of The Bachelorette into one? And we don't know. So stick around. Live, we're working without a net, folks. All right. So today's question, it's a would you rather. Would you rather go on 2 bad first dates, but the food is amazing, or 1 good first date? So note that we're not saying amazing first date. It's a good first date. It's not a hard pass after that first date, but the food is really bad. Justify your answer. Show your work.
I can go first. I actually hate dates that involve food, especially at the beginning, because I have several food issues. Like, I'm celiac, so I'm gluten-free. I can't have eggs or dairy, and there's a whole long list. So I always like first dates that are either like, let's get drinks or let's do something outside, because I hate ordering food at restaurants because I have to do like a laundry list. So I like to ease men into the food crazy and not have it on display right away. So I guess I would say good dates, bad food, because I probably wouldn't eat it anyways.
So what if the food, because Kim and I are pretty good friends, and she actually has a Google document, which is amazing, with all of the stuff that she can and can't have in case you invite her over, which is super nice. What if the 2 bad first dates were like Kim approved food?
Like,
this is a magical restaurant where the chef
never happened. I would say then I might give him another chance, or at least remember what restaurant we were at so that I could continue to go back to that restaurant with any future dates.
D3.
I gotta have the good food, because if the date, like if the guy doesn't work out, at least like I know now what to order. Like, you know, that food's still there and I can enjoy it. I can enjoy it for many meals to come.
Oh, like in your memory, or you're going to like take it home? And
well, one in my memory, but also like if, I guess it's like local and stuff, you now like know this really amazing meal that you can tap into at any time.
I thought you were going to say you'd take leftovers home. I've never done that. Like, I am just a finisher no matter what. I wish I was like somebody who's like, and I'll take some home, and I don't do that.
So I would totally take it home.
Yeah. So I had my restaurants in Ames that I knew I could order one thing off the menu. So those were always my go-tos for early on dates. And okay. I often would bring leftovers home because I talk too much on dates and I wasn't eating very much of it. So I would take it home and then actually eat when I got home from the date.
I'm the person who finishes mine and then I feel really awkward because I'm a fast eater. And then it's like, I think they're like, does he want to eat my food? And I'm kind of like, well, yeah, I do. So, okay. Episode in one word. episodes. Sweat. Ooh, that's a good
one. Ooh, that is a good one. Oh, I'm so mad I had one and now I forgot it. I'll go with you're out of here. I felt like we trimmed things down. Did I steal yours?
Yeah, I was going to say cut. Like, she was like the first few. Well, let's rock right into kind of talking about the episode. The first after Blake's date, like the first few minutes of that episode, it was just like mass, you know, like she's just cutting everybody out of the date. So the way we'll do it, we're going to talk about the first episode. So the Monday night episode, and anything that happened and the men tell all is fair game. So we don't need to feel like we need to save and be like, then we'll talk about that. We're omniscient on this point. Okay. So, Blake's date, what do you think about it? First off, the Reiki master, crystal master, Kim thought this was his mom in the promos.
The hometowns. I saw her with them and I went, oh my God, she's exactly what I imagined Canada Blake's mom would look like. And then it wasn't his mom.
And she was so convincing that she had me convinced. So that when it happened, I was like, oh damn. And then I kept wondering, like, is that his mom? Is his mom a Reiki master? Like, is this?
Maybe.
I couldn't handle it. I missed this when it was on live because I had promised my kids that I'd watch Home Alone with them that evening. And so I caught up on this and Ryan, my husband, like came, like kind of walked behind me and he's like, what is this? No. He was like, no. And I was like, oh, I'd be leaning into this. But that point that she like sat on his lap and she's like sitting there and they're like staring at each other's face. I was like,
and you could tell she wasn't into it. Like you could just see it in her face that she'd already decided that he's going to be the first victim tonight. But she had to like.
Kim described it as the red wedding. Like Tayshia's version of the red wedding.
Like the Lannisters are coming to get you. Boy, bachelorette.
So then there was also a point where the lady was doing the thing with the crystal around Blake's crotch. And I think potentially he had a boner and she was like, oh, it's so big. And this is so good. It was in the like, yeah, the tell-all
outtakes.
And so when I was in college, so I was a psych undergrad major in college and I took my senior year, a health psychology course. And we had, and being a professor, I now understand the mortification probably from the instructor side too, but she had a holistic healer or something who did crystals and she asked for a volunteer and some poor college girl like volunteered, right? Went up to the front of the room and the lady started spinning the crystal around her chakras and got down to the crotch chakra. I don't know what it's called. I'm calling it the crotch chakra. And like, apparently the crystal was not spinning very well. And she's like, oh my. Oh, this one is very closed off. This one, there are things going on here. And it was like, I mean, it was just awkward. And like, I'm sure the poor girl was like, what is going on? I mean, it was bad.
She never volunteered for anything else ever again.
No, and rightfully so. I feel like that's her one. Like she did it. And I feel like that professor, because I've had some people like come and present in my class and it's gone south real quick and you got to figure out how to get out of there and like be nice. And yeah, so that was not my first experience with a crystal master commenting on someone's genital chakra. That's probably what it's called.
It's making me sweat.
Really?
I just loved Blake's face when he was told that once again, he was going to have to get naked. Cause how many times did he have to get naked on this show? Like 4 times. And his face was just like, oh God, not again. But then he took his clothes off very quickly. So I think it was like false sadness. I think he actually, I feel like he's a guy that likes to like walk around his house buck naked all the time. So
if I looked like him, I would, if I had a body like that. Plus, at least this time, Tayshia was doing it too. So
that's true.
Yeah. So, thoughts on the breakup?
I I've never been convinced that Blake has really been that into Tayshia. So like, I've always felt that he was there, he was into Claire, and whatever.
Yeah. She seemed very distraught, weirdly. After being like pretty clear early on in their date that she'd already decided he was gonna go home. She was pretty upset after he left, considering she made her decision probably weeks ago. And I feel like he was another Ed that you just kind of forgot was there. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh crap, I need to get rid of this.
Well, I guess maybe it was like she knew she was going to do the rose ceremony. She was going to let Riley go. And then she was going to let, you know, so I wonder if it was like just she kind of let him go, realized it was kind of hard and was like, oh man, I got to do this to 4 more guys, 3 more guys. Mm-hmm. So, but
well,
yeah.
Breaking up with people is never like fun.
No.
Like even if you know you have to do it, you're not like, ooh, guess what I get to do today. So, you know, I think that she particularly struggles with that because she doesn't want to hurt anyone, but like that's the game, girlfriend.
I was a big fan of trying to get the people to break up with me. Like like just like I'm not very just like, and then I didn't feel so bad, even if it was never worked though. It's like the more you want someone to break up with you, the more they cling tightly. It's a good life
such
lesson.
A dude thing to do. Come on.
I know. I've been reformed. So Riley gets sent home. What do we think about this? He had a pretty emotional tell-all about it too. So I did do a Twitter poll and we had close to 100 again. So we've got people are now responding to the Twitter polls like, is our thing. Maybe we should just quit podcasting and just do Twitter polls all the time. So the question was, do you owe an explanation for a breakup? So if you're breaking up with someone, do you owe an explanation? And I kind of thought of this because it seemed like she felt like she needed to explain it to him. He said why. So about 41% said yes, just a blanket yes. About 9% said no. 26% said only if it's long term. And then, oops, I gotta scroll down further. Uh-oh, I didn't get it all the way. And then whatever the rest of that is said that I think it was like maybe 36%, 30 some percent said only if they ask. So
I was one of the only if it was long-term.
Okay.
Poll markers. Cause I think if you've gone on like less than a, and I guess I don't know. Everybody has a different idea of what long-term is, but I would say less than 5 or 6 dates, I don't think you need to give an explanation. And if it's 5 or 6 dates over a year period, that's weird. But if it's 5 or 6 dates over like 2 weeks, you probably don't need to give an explanation either. Just petered out.
That was my thought too, Kim. I think that that's what I marked as well. I don't think that you necessarily owe someone that, but I probably would still offer someone that, if that makes sense.
And I also want to give this advice. If you are breaking up with someone, please don't end it with, but I still want to be friends.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I think it probably depends on how, yeah, I don't know. I always think it's weird if you've dated somebody like 2 or 3 times and then they really want an explanation and it's like, but most of the other long-term relationships I've had and my friends have had, it kind of seems like both parties know, like in the moment you may feel really sad, but then once you get a little bit of time, you're like, yeah, that was probably a good for both of us. But yeah. What did we think about Riley? How did he handle it?
I think he's intense, but I thought that both of them handled it fairly well. I mean, I thought that his question, I think he asked her, you know, why did you keep me around as long as you did? And I thought that that was like, a perfectly reasonable question, because I'd never felt like they had a romantic connection, but I do think that she respected him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I don't think you should ever have to convince the person that you're dating that they should keep dating you. So I think he handled that very, like, I don't need to explain why I'm amazing. If you can't see it, then this isn't going to work. So
I thought, judging by his reaction in the tell-all, he was actually much more broken up about it than I thought in the actual breakup. And so I was like, wow, he kind of set his piece and left. You could tell, and Kim and I were talking about this, that you could tell he wanted to lawyer her for a second. Mm-hmm. Like, and then he shut himself down, which I thought was good, because you never look good when you, like, you're not going to debate someone back into dating you. You might, right. but then it's like a coercion thing. And I don't think anyone, if they really think about it, want to be with someone that they're forcing, that they've, like, you know, out debated into staying with you. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's happy about that long term.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Bennett and Noah, they're done. They get sent home at the rose ceremony, and then they kind of tangle at the tell all. So what do we think about Noah now? Or what do we think about the whole thing? We don't have to go just by the questions I wrote, like, just thoughts.
Are we allowed to swear on this?
Oh yeah.
I just think Bennett is the biggest jackass. Like, he comes in that purple suit with and with the no socks when he comes back before the rose ceremony. And he's like, hey guys, I'm back. And you can tell they're all super pissed about it. And then he tries to touch Ben, and Ben is like, don't touch me. And then in the tell-all, he's wearing a scarf in Palm Springs. He's lounged out. Yeah, exactly, Danielle.
Yeah.
He's lounged out like the biggest man spreader on the planet. He keeps putting his glasses in his mouth. Like, I don't know if you guys were Full House fans, but there's an episode when Uncle Jesse has to play, like, some suave, he's like, Rebecca's seeing an old friend from college and he's super smart. So he goes, I'm about to regress, I'm sorry. But he goes to this, like, college alumni party and is trying to look smart. So he keeps walking around with his glasses and his teeth. So I just kept seeing Uncle Jesse from, like, 1992 Full House in Bennett. And he just is so condescending to everyone. It made me crazy.
But then he argued the point that he wasn't condescending. And then he was like, can you give me an example of when I was condescending? And then somebody gave it to him and he's like, I want a specific example. And it was like, at that point, you know, you're arguing for the sake of arguing and you're kind of a condescending prick. And
And he gave Noah a sippy cup of his creepy green juice. Like, come on. This is not, you're not acting like a grown adult person right now.
There's like a part of me. Okay. One, I think I absolutely agree. He's a tool. And very condescending. There is a part of me that wonders how much of this is like part of the show, because when he comes out with his green drinks, people seemed pretty on board then and were pretty good sports. And I mean, I have been impressed with Noah on multiple occasions because Bennett has been a real jerk and he doesn't snap back. He is really patient. He handles himself pretty maturely. And I think I said that I would drink out of a sippy cup in solidarity.
Oh yeah. Where's the sippy cup?
Oh, next time that I watch, I'll like take.
Oh, I thought you were going to, we all have our like things we drink out of. I thought you were going to do it on the podcast.
Out of a sippy cup.
Maybe on Monday night, I'll have a sippy cup with me. I will tell you those sippy cups are nasty. Like I don't know if I want to drink out of my kids' sippy cups, but you know, I might make a sacrifice for like a tweet.
So I thought Noah ended up like handling, like in the end, like thinking of myself as a 25-year-old, I can't imagine that I would have dealt with it as well as he did. And even like the sippy cup thing, he just kind of rolled with it, which probably if you think about it is the best way to deal with Bennett. Cause I think he wants a rise out of him. And you could tell he was kind of feeding off of it. And for the most part, like, I think he kept escalating because Noah was just like, whatever, I don't care. Mm-hmm. And he seems like a person who really wants to matter, Bennett. And if you just act like what he's saying doesn't bother you, it's, I imagine it just chaps him. Just mm-hmm. he can't handle it.
Yep, so. I agree.
What do we think about, we talked about Bennett. Any final thoughts? I feel like they are going to end up on Bachelor in Paradise. I can feel it, and it's going to be so good.
Mm.
Like the two of them together. Yeah.
Oh, maybe Noah can pull a Jordan and like throw a stuffed animal out in the water or something.
I did like that. Other things about the Men Tell All, no Joe, no Chasen.
I know. I was devastated that there was no Joe.
Did either of you see why? Like what?
He's probably really busy at work.
Well, Joe, yeah. Chasen, I don't know what that dude's up to.
I was surprised that Chasen wasn't there because I see Chasen as someone who, one, they could put on Bachelor in Paradise, but two, that if invited, would jump on that because he seems to seek attention, I think. But so I was kind of surprised by Chasen's absence. So I'm interested in whether they were invited or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that out. I wondered if it had something to do with quarantine and the timing and like being able to get a flight. And like Joe obviously has a real person job. I think Chasen's just like a model or something. So I don't know what he's got going on. He's a former football player like the rest of them. So Yosef, do we want to like, I feel like we should only give him 15, 30 seconds of our time.
Here's what I loved about Yosef. Jason's facial expressions as Yosef was digging himself deeper and deeper into Jerkland. Jason looked like his head was about to explode and that he was about to walk over and just pummel Yosef with every sentence that Yosef said. I loved seeing Jason back. He looks good with the scruff beard.
I agree.
Jason on that. I do love a good scruff beard though, so I might be biased. But he, like, I think that man is in therapy and I think he's doing really well.
I feel like there needs to be a book written for people like him that are like, so you've decided to explore your feelings. Because you can tell he's still like, he's still at the stage of like rage and loud talking. Yeah. Like, hopefully he gets to like, I'm feeling this and here's how mm-hmm. I feel. But yeah.
And it was good to see that none of the guys wanted anything to do with what Yosef was saying. Like they were all like, you are wrong. You are a disaster. You should not be around human beings. Like, that was good to see.
Chris Harrison packaged that for
us.
He like put an apology in a box, wrapped it with a bow and handed it to him. And he was like, nah, man, like I don't owe her an apology. And I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. like.
Yeah, I couldn't. Watching that clip again, it was very obvious that he really wanted a reaction out of her. And like, again, to Claire's credit, he basically was insulting her and she was pretty like dealing with it until he got what he wanted. I don't know. Yeah. I don't understand why, like, he's a jerk. I think I text one of you and said, he's going to make somebody really miserable someday. He's going to make some unlucky woman really miserable someday.
I would love for whoever is the mother of his daughter, who will, of course, never make any mistakes ever, according to him. And if he does, apparently he's going to like disown her and kick her out of the house, it sounds.
Yeah, he's fine.
Awesome parenting.
Yeah.
But like, who is the woman that allowed him to get her pregnant in the first place and be around her and treat, like, how was she treated? I can only imagine how he treated her, considering how he treated Claire in like knowing her 2 weeks.
Ew.
I wonder if he like isn't with her because of that. you know?
Oh, I'm sure. And I wonder how much access he actually has to his dog.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, he probably, she got pregnant and he's like, I would never marry someone who slept with someone before they're married.
Right.
Like, so tacky.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Are we past, are we on to the second episode now? Anything you want to, any bloopers you loved?
I thought the bloopers were cute.
Yeah. I thought they were cute. They're like very hit or miss. Some seasons are really good. This one, they were like, eh, okay. Although the Chris and Ed, like, I thought, yeah. I don't know if that was part of the bloopers, but I just thought that was still, that whole thing where they ended up in the room together drinking was just amazing.
Their love is pure. Their love is pure.
All right. So we move on to the hometowns. So we get a good night's rest. We come back. We're well rested. We're ready to go. And we start out with the hometowns. And so I thought I would do my extra credit. Why the hometowns even matter. So if you all will permit me, I'm going to talk a little bit about why is it so important to meet people's families? And obviously I think we all know that it is important, but very few people actually ask themselves, why is it important? So there's really two big reasons, in the research that I came, out of, and again, this whole thing of family and how family affects you is a huge topic. And I come out of the family services at my university. And so we teach multiple classes about that. So one of the big reasons is it's really predictive and informative to meet people's families. Family is going to be a major contributor in your development. In a large way, we are who we are because of the impact of our family. And that's our parents, and then brothers and sisters or cousins if they're really close. I don't want to get too normative family, but it's those people that are close to you and are around you in your developmental years. We also learn our relationship patterns largely from models in our life. So likely that's going to be your parents or your caretakers. So what that looks like is if you have a parent, or you have a role model, whoever raised you, and they have a significant other, or they date people and they have open, honest, communicative styles, you're more likely to model those behaviors further along in your life. And when you have your relationships, you're going to model that. If you grew up in a family where they're hostile, their interactions are not good at building that kind of positive relationship we want, you are likely to mirror that when you start dating people. Now, thing to remember about that is that it is not something that is unchangeable. You can address those through counseling, family therapy, and things like that. But it is always going to kind of be your baseline. It is going to be something that you go back to and you have to work really hard to get out of those patterns. The other big one is you're going to be interacting with the family. And Danielle talked about this a little bit, that, you know, what did you say? It's wonderful interacting with the family. Last week, I think you said, oh, it's amazing, Danielle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I was probably joking just a little bit, but I mean, I do really enjoy interacting with both my family and Ryan's, but you know, it can also be awkward, especially when you're navigating those relationships at the beginning, mm-hmm. like fully integrating yourself into someone else's family and like learning their rituals and like ways of doing things can be
right.
Wonderful.
And then the other thing to remember that people don't think about is if you are with somebody long term, you are going to develop your own relationship with those people. And so people think, oh, it's always going to be as a couple interacting with this person's family. And that's not the case. You develop, you know, with your father-in-law, with your mother-in-law, with a brother or sister. And I think, Danielle, you're really close with your mm-hmm. sister-in-law, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you're going to develop those types of relationships. And then their beliefs are going to impact how you raise your children, how you communicate with your spouse. So if you make your significant other really mad, probably the person they're going to call is their sister or their mom or their dad. And how they tell them to deal with that situation is going to impact you. And then the final thing, their opinion matters, right? Some of this is you checking them out, but it's them checking you out. You know, families approve of you or they don't. Interesting, in the US, we have less influence from families than you do in a lot of other cultures. So if you think in like a lot of Eastern cultures, your parents make the final call. You take them there and your parents say yay or nay. In the US, it's more they give you a recommendation and then you make that decision. The problem is if they give a bad recommendation and you make the decision anyways, you know, they're potentially could be this lifelong kind of animosity building up. So that's, I always tell students if they say, oh, I'm dating someone, make sure you meet their parents and that you can spend a decent amount of time with them. And that they're reasonable and that they can talk about things and they're not set in stone and they can kind of interact. So that's my extra credit. They decide, and this was a big question we all had, how are they going to do hometown dates? So they decided that they were going to bring a little of their hometown and their families there. So we start out with Brendan, and apparently he loves carnivals. I didn't really understand this. Kim, you said that he's from the East Coast. You used to live in Boston. Can you shed any light on this carnival thing?
No.
I didn't know if this was
he's from a town outside of the 495, which is the belt interstate that the world ends west of that. If you're from Boston or you live in Boston, there is nothing west of that interstate, which is a very large portion of the United States, by the way. But what I can say is Boston is the winter home of the Big Apple Circus, which might be gone now. I think circuses are kind of going by the wayside, but so maybe it was like an homage to the Big Apple Circus.
Okay.
And how they always set up, it's not the winter home. I'm sure the winter home is in Florida, but there was always like a big setup of the Big Apple Circus tent in Government Center every summer. So maybe it was like a poor man's homage to that.
Okay.
But yeah, it was very like carny, scary carnival stuff, not like Six Flags or anything like that kind of stuff. Yeah.
We should also point out that everybody on all of the dates was sweating like
so gross.
And so I don't know why they decided to do this outside. But yeah. So his relationship with his niece, what do y'all think about that? Any thoughts?
I thought it was sweet. And I actually wonder if that's why they did the carnival date, that it was less about a place and more about how do we do something that's inclusive for his niece. But you could tell that they have a really special relationship. And I think that's probably a good sign.
Mm-hmm. I love that they had a little like handshake thing.
The handshake. So one of the things I really liked, Tayshia did a really good job of bonding with the niece, but in the past when somebody's brought on like a child or a niece or a nephew, it almost seems like they go over the top to prove how much they like kids. And I felt like she did a really good job of like having a good time and interacting, but not like making it seem cheesy. I think it was Brad Womack had a teacher, and it was just very obvious that she was trying really, really hard to prove to him that she wanted kids. And it was like, which I realize is a societal pressure too. So then he goes, he talks to his brother. Thoughts or any of the interactions with the family, anything that came up, anything that you were like, I like this, I didn't like this.
I'm convinced that he's like,
ooh, this is going to be good.
I'm not convinced that he's ready, and I'm not sure that he thought he'd get this far, maybe, and that now he's kind of panicking because he's not as ready as he needs to be for this step.
I feel like he's nervous the whole time.
Yeah.
Like there's something he's even when he was like dancing and stuff, which was really cute. But I felt that he was, there's just ways that he feels nervous to me all the time. So
I can't tell the difference between him and Zach. And sometimes I think I attribute both of their behaviors to both of them. And so it's like, I feel like Zach always seems really guarded. He seems nervous, and they've become this like Zachton person to me, where it's like, they are just nervous and guarded all the time. I thought him and his brother's conversation was really like, if I was looking to marry somebody that can have that type of like heartfelt, tell someone they care about them, talk about their feelings is good. You know, like you're going to have to have conversations like that in a marriage, and, you know, seeing that they can do that's really useful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Other thoughts?
I thought that they should have, once they played the carnival games, they should have immediately gone inside to have their ice cream and get out of the sun. That poor niece was so red-faced and hot. I just, like, every time I looked at her, I wanted to make sure there was an intern somewhere that had water ready for her, because she just looked like she was overheating the whole time they were outside.
I wondered if they had a medic that was just like watching them the whole time. Mm-hmm. I also think about, like, yeah, they were hot. Imagine the freaking cameramen and like boom mic operators. Mm-hmm. And I bet they were just dying. So
I do think that as you watch the dates progress, I do think that they end up indoors more. And I think that they just were like, oh, like there's not going to be any good shots of them like kissing because no one wants to touch anymore.
Right.
Well, and like, so maybe it's a chance to move on to Zach then, because he kind of won the day for sweating. There was a point where she was kissing him and the poor guy was just like dripping. And I think I text you, Danielle. It's like, or all of us have kind of talked about this. I feel like everyone in America doesn't really trust Zach, and they don't know why. Like they feel like, and what I've read on Twitter, everyone's like, I don't know, I just don't get a good vibe. And this morning when I was rewatching it, I think it can be summed up that it was so hot and he still wore like black jeans and a black shirt and weird high tops while he was carrying around this fake taxi. Like, I don't trust his judgment.
I like, so one, this date though, I felt like I was like, is he even really from New York? Because this is just like,
no, he is not.
Kim's got an opinion on this. Lay it on us, Kim.
It's a generic thing.
Okay, so I Googled because I was like, I don't remember him saying he was from New York.
Kim did what any good friend does when somebody starts dating.
I am the best friend for when you're dating, because
Googled the shit out of him.
Google deep dive. I do it for the men that I date. Sorry, future guys and past. And I do it for my friends. He is from New Jersey. By the way, his parents are adorable. And I want his mom to be my best friend. And I loved how excited she was about meeting Chris Harrison. He is from South Jersey. He's a big Philadelphia sports fan, which means he's South Jersey, which means if he was doing a hometown and wanted to be cultured, he needed to do Philadelphia, not New York City.
Or Jersey.
Or like South Shore. Well, don't do South Shore. And his clinic is not in New York City either. His clinic is up in upstate New York. So he's like, so that's why you can't trust him. He doesn't tell the truth about any of his past. And them making out in the fountain made me very uncomfortable, because you don't, that's not in daylight and not sober do you make out with someone in a fountain.
I mean, they're stuck in whatever. They're stuck in this hotel. Go for it.
But if you're trying to recreate New York City, you get arrested for that.
Good
point. So they could have had an NYPD police officer come in and like throw them to the ground and arrest. Oh, now I've gotten political, but arrest them and haul them off because they're doing PDA in a fountain.
And there may be like a homeless person who is also like bathing next to you.
It's not
like,
water in those fountains.
You wouldn't get that like whole wonderful fountain to yourself.
Ew. This, they were trying to recreate the Friends opening credits a little bit, I think.
I have a theory that they didn't even want to get in there, but like some medic was like, seriously, Cool. You need to get in there, Zach, or you're going to die.
Yeah.
You
put
are
some shorts
so,
on, please.
You've lost 15 pounds of your body weight. Sorry, Danielle.
I think that she's super. No, I think she's super into him, and I think they are going to get it on next week. So I think, I don't know. I don't understand it, but I think that there is some chemistry there, and they are cooling down. And
so you all think this is going well for him, for Zach?
I do. Yeah. I think she's definitely into him.
I just think
she's a dirty liar, but I think she's definitely into him.
I think she's so far out of his league. It's not even funny. And like looks wise. Also, she is a really good communicator. Like when his dad was like, I don't really believe in this. And she was like, well, what don't you believe in it? Talk to me about it. Like that was kind of a masterclass on how to deal with somebody you might have to spend a lot of time with. And instead of just being like, well, you're ridiculous, I don't believe you, shut up, like talk them through it. And I was very impressed with her. I mean, I just, in general, I've been impressed with her and how she's dealing with all this, but yeah.
She seems more excited about living in New York than living with Zach. Cause a couple of times she talked about, oh, I'd love to live in New York. Oh, I'd love to live in New York, but not necessarily. I'd love to live in New York with you. It was, I love New York. I would live in New York. So she might be falling in love with his fake hometown more than him.
So then Ivan, they do some cooking. Thoughts on that? We did get a question from a student, one of my former students, Hillary. So thanks, Hillary. Shout out on the show. That asked, is it even realistic to be doing cooking with your spouse? So former couples, people, what do you think?
It was making me laugh because that night Ryan had made these.
Oh, yeah, you sent me a picture. Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan had made these awesome, like, they're called Bombay rolls, and I was annoying the crap out of him. He was in the kitchen trying to move around, and I kept getting in his way, and I could tell I was annoying him, and then so I started doing that, you know, like, basketball move where you, like, walk them out, stick your butt into them, and he was very impressed with me annoying the crap out of him in the kitchen. So, I mean, we tend to take turns cooking. We very rarely cook together. But maybe that has to do with us having too small of kitchens or something.
I was going to say, I have an ex where we would cook together a lot, and I really liked it. His kitchen was bigger than mine. So, and we were usually at his place anyways, but I liked cooking together because it's, I like being in the kitchen. I like when others are in the kitchen. I don't want to. But I also had one ex where he'd never even heard of a walking taco before. So I had to educate him on what that was. And he just stood and watched me make it. And I found that annoying. Like you can chop stuff. You don't just have to stand there and watch me make a salad that goes in a bag of chips. Like, come on, dude. So
I like that the culturing you gave this guy was a walking taco.
He'd never had before. He wasn't from Iowa. It was
the guy's practically freaking Bennett now after that.
I educated him on so many things.
Elaine and I,
it's just a walk in the park.
Elaine and I do not cook together. We signed up for HelloFresh and like we tried to do it a couple times, and I do most of the cooking, although Elaine has, as we've like been married longer, does. But we realized that like the two of us just, and Elaine would freely admit this, she does not like to work with other people on things, especially that. And so it's like she would rather do it herself or not do it at all, which is fine. We understand it. It doesn't bother us. But I don't know a lot of people who long-term cook together as a couple, but maybe. I tried to find research on it, and I did not find a lot.
Well, with our two, we have two small kiddos, and I think it would be too, like, our house would be destroyed. Like, someone needs to keep them in one piece while the other is prepping food. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also imagine once you get kids, your like willingness to make like amazing meals like really goes down, and you're just like, you know, we're cooking what we can because we have so much on our plate, pun intended.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, we just ate chicken nuggets for lunch, so
that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I wish I had chicken nuggets to eat. I'm gonna get some after we're done recording. So Ivan's mom.
Oh, I can do my extra credit if you want.
Oh yeah, sorry. Extra credit.
No, that's okay. It's like extra credit light this week. So
no, it's gonna be great. This is gonna be
when
great.
The two of you are on the last time. I think Bill, in your extra credit, I was listening to it. I think Ryan was listening to, and you were talking about how important there's like two things that it's important that couples know how to navigate. And one is finances and the other is domestic labor. Mm-hmm. And Ryan and I looked at each other, started laughing, high-fived each other. And we were like, one out of two ain't bad. So domestic labor is definitely something that we've had to learn how to navigate. We have a different idea of what constitutes clean. And I'm way more picky. And Ryan is, I guess the way that we figured it out is he's really good at projects more than he is at like routine sorts of things. So if I'm like, you know, we need to clean out our garage, that's you, dude, right? But if it's do the dishes every day, I'm more likely to be on top of things. So in terms of research around domestic labor, it's really important way that gender roles are created, maintained, and sometimes also disrupted. So there is a lot more equality, I guess, in terms of the amount of time spent on domestic tasks, which includes caring for the home as well as childcare. So I think the stats that I found are, they're kind of old now. I'd be really interested to see how this plays out during COVID too. But in 2014, women were spending about 6.8 hours a week engaging in domestic tasks more than men, where men were still spending about 6 hours more a week doing paid labor. And, but interestingly enough, they still had about 4 hours of leisure time more than women in the home. And so things are becoming like, we're starting to see more equality in terms of how those tasks, because more and more women are also doing paid labor. But one thing that is also sort of interesting is that women that identify as feminist are more likely to be unhappy with the division of labor in their homes than people that don't. And so, you know, because I think they have a different expectation for those egalitarian relationships in the home. Also, there isn't a ton of research, but the research that has been done on same-sex couples does show that there's more of an egalitarian division of labor in the home. So if Ivan and Tayshia, you know, end up together, it seems to me that they might be pretty good at sharing in those responsibilities and roles. So that's my extra credit.
Did they do any research? And you probably are going to say no, on same-sex couples who identify as feminist or not. So if there's like one who identifies and one who doesn't, or heterosexual couples who identify as feminist or not.
Ooh, I don't know about that, but that sounds like a good study.
Potential research. Oh, you have written research articles before. Whenever they ask you, can you do this? Like, ooh, sorry. But it sounds like a good study.
That IRB going.
Suck it, reviewer two. All right. So Ivan's mom, I loved her. I also loved Ivan's dad. I thought his question when he said, so you've been divorced, and he's, what did you learn from it? And Brendan's family talked about how divorce was a failure. And he's like, I never want to get divorced again. And I think his brother said, this is do or die, which seemed very, very dramatic in some ways. And her dad was much more about, what did you learn? How will this improve you? I thought their talk was very pleasant.
I did too. I liked both of his parents so much. His mom is adorable. I love that she and Tayshia were basically wearing the same dress. And his dad was just so like chill and he seemed very ex-military to me. And I don't know why, but I've just felt like he was retired military that has just sort of in his retirement set. And I imagine that Ivan's brother has probably put them through the ringer. So they might just be more focused on Ivan's happiness because they've been so focused on his brother's, whatever his brother has been dealing with for so long, that they just want to make sure that Ivan is really happy and well taken and is able to move forward in his life as successfully as possible.
What did we think about Ivan's brother? The henna bar.
I tried to read what the tattoo, I got really close to my TV last night when I was rewatching, because I wanted to see if I could tell what the words were on his face, because he had something on his chin line, and then there, and you guys noticed it when we were watching it. I didn't notice it, but the first time around, but there was something in his eyelids, there were words, and I was really trying to see what they were, and I couldn't tell, but he seems like he's had a rough go of it.
I think that there's, because one, you know, he's an ex-convict. He's got face and neck tattoos. I do think that it's hard to not let that maybe shift the way that you view him. And so what was really interesting to me is, if I really just listened to what he had to offer, though, I was like, wow, he's really wise. Yeah. I felt that he was insightful and my guess is that he has had some pretty intense life experiences that provide a unique perspective of the world. And so I found him interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So at our house, the people who were watching it were split on what they thought about him. I kind of think no matter, largely, if you marry into a family, you are going to have some type of crazy uncle or relative or sister that ends up sucking the oxygen out. And like, he seemed like he had kind of done his stuff. He seemed like he was improving in life. And so I guess there's a part of me that's like, I would rather have him, who's had some issues, seems to be on the right road, than like a sister who isn't breaking the law, but is just general crazy, that is constantly, you know, like a sister-in-law that is just like constantly creating chaos in the family because she can't get along with somebody or something like that. That was just my thought. I think she should snatch Ivan up. I feel like you don't,
for his parents alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like you don't go much up from him. Like, snatch that up if you like him.
I really like Ivan. I think I really like seeing the date, because my one concern with the two of them is, I was like, he is my favorite, but I always felt that like maybe they had slightly different energies.
Mm-hmm.
And I did feel like on this date, you could see their energies matching better. And so I'm team Ivan.
Yeah.
Me too.
So speaking of people we maybe don't like as much, Ben, what do we have to think about Ben?
Emotionally stunted. I don't know how to help him, because when he was sitting in the car. Oh, am I giving away a spoiler? I guess if you were listening to this, you probably watched the episode. When he's sitting in the car and he's like, I'm trying to cry and I can't cry. Like, that's something you need to talk to a professional about. Like, if you can't, you just got broken up with and you have no emotion, that we need to have some words, because that's a problem.
Yeah. And it seemed like his sister or maybe, or Antonia or one of those two even realized that he like has issues with that, because mm-hmm. she was trying to coach him when he was like, I think I love her. And she's like, you do love her. Like, you need to tell her this. It's that easy. So it's clearly a problem that he's had.
I felt a lot of empathy for him, even though I think she made the right decision. I hope he, this is a hard way to learn that lesson, I guess. So, you know, I felt a lot like, I can't imagine, as somebody that tends to say things that I shouldn't rather than not say what I should. I felt, you know, I did feel like a lot of sympathy for him, that he kind of couldn't realize how he was feeling. And then the moment that he is made to realize that, then he has like the guts to tell Chris Harrison how he's feeling. And then he just can't communicate that to her. And I was like, oh, that has to suck. But also I think that she made the right decision.
I'll be interested to see him on After the Rose and see what he has to say and how it impacts the way he kind of thought about it and stuff like that, given some time. I don't know if he actually was that disappointed. And I don't know if Tayshia was actually that disappointed. Like, I feel like they are two people who would date for 10 years and like they're of similar attractiveness. Like, they seem to get along, but and like, there's just nothing really better out there. So they date, they break up, they date, they break up. And then finally one of them finds someone that they really want to marry. That was kind of what I thought it was, what it felt like to me watching it.
So I always think that there's like one of the people that they keep around just because they like want to like get it on with in fantasy suites. And I thought that he would be that person for her. Like that they're, you know, like maybe you're keeping Ivan or Zach around, but then there's like this one person that you're just like, I'm going to get it on with. And so I was still a little surprised. I mean, I shouldn't have been, because that date didn't go well. It didn't end well. But I was surprised because I thought that maybe she wanted to take his clothes off.
Well, but she has seen him naked already, so she didn't have to keep him to the fantasy suite to see what was beneath the curtain, because she saw it when he exposed himself during the art scene.
He's like the ultimate one-night stand. Like, you don't get a body like that without like constantly working out. And I think like subconsciously, we all know that that would impact all of the other things that you'd want to do in a marriage. Like, you know, he's not going to be able to help with the chores if he's constantly working out, but like for like 2 weeks.
So yeah. That's why I don't work out too much.
Yeah. Maybe he could be her pancake. So if whoever she chooses at the end ends up not working out and she needs that after relationship pancake one night, which I call, they're like the some people call it rebounds. I like to call it the after relationship pancake, where you have fun for a couple of days and then you throw them in the trash because it's not quite the pancake that you want. Maybe she could call him up and be like, hey, come up to Orange County for a couple of days.
I think whoever
she ends up with at the end of the show doesn't actually work out.
I think the rebound is you have to have more of a relationship, and the pancake is like what you're saying. You've got to like, it's like a 2 or 3 day thing. And then it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know,
I did hear an interview with Tayshia. She was on someone's podcast and she said something that made me wonder if he's going to come back. And
is this another Bennett situation where they just won't take no for an answer?
I think that they'll bring him back and he'll tell her that he loves her. But I wonder if it will change anything. I don't know.
I guess I just feel like saying I love you in that instance, if you really thought about it, is not that big of a thing. It's really the issue is that he has not given her any affirmation up to that point. You know, she can say that it's that like one word, but really it's the confluence of everything that's happened up to that point that's making her mad. Mm-hmm. Making her unhappy. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. So anything else on Ben?
I think he was wearing an appropriately collared shirt on the date for the first time. Did we notice if he had a...
Oh, no, he did. I saw it.
Oh, he did?
It
was, oh.
The at the end, yeah. And it was like, as he was like, as she was going away, he was just like looking like mouth agape.
With his gaping neck hole.
Yeah.
Kim, I really appreciate the attention to their clothes that you like have. I don't notice it that much. And every time you're like, oh, they were wearing almost matching dresses, I was like, no kidding. I really appreciate that.
It's the little things.
Okay. So last couple things for the episode, who's she going to pick? Is she going to pick anyone?
I have this sneaking suspicion that this doesn't end in an engagement.
But will it end in a couple? And if so, who?
I think it's going to be Zach.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
It should be Ivan, but I think it's going to be Zach.
I agree. But I don't think it'll work out with Zach either.
No.
I think we'll see them all on Bachelor in Paradise.
Interesting. Huh. So episode in a statement. I've dropped the sentence because frankly, I don't know what really makes a sentence. I thought I did. I should. I have my doctorate, but if I'm being honest, if someone was like diagram the sentence, I'd be like, I don't know what any of. So we're just going to go a statement. You don't even have to put a period at the end. Dead air.
I know. I'm kind of.
I do think when I'm trying to think of a snazzy way to put this, and I've got Christmas brain.
We got 4 more hours next week, D3. Don't check out on me yet.
I think that I have enough brain span to watch The Bachelor. That might be it. Work knows, but I was just left. Thinking so much about regret. I think because of how things ended with Ben, and just like thinking about those moments where you regret that you had an opportunity and you didn't jump on it. So. Will be motivating, you know, no regrets, folks. Live this next week big.
I'm going to go with one of my favorite, something somebody told me like when I had my first job and I had to fire somebody. And that is just everyone wants to be a captain until you actually have to do the things a captain does. And so I feel like she was like, this is hard. This is so hard. It's like, yeah. You're on the show, you know, and the guys are like, this is hard. It's like, yeah, dating's hard. If it were easy, we'd all, like, the first person we date, we'd fall in love and, you know, there wouldn't be wars and, you know, so hard stuff's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks being the captain sometimes.
I think mine is, how do I put this? You need to be able to show how you feel about someone, and maybe it's in how they say it or how they I'm much more of a show instead of say personally, so show how you care about someone, and that can be, I think they 3 of the 4 did a good job of showing how they care about Tayshia, and the other one really needs to work on that.
Did none of it
in Ben, home in his homework now
Ben,
that he's home.
Ben neither showed nor said. Poor Ben.
No. Oh, yep.
Poor guy.
I mean, we should have known when she said get vulnerable and he got naked.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Instead of actually being vulnerable, he was like, I'm just going to do what's worked for me my whole life. Strip down to my smoking bod. I'm going to go
full advertise my gym on national television.
Full smoke show on you. And there we go. All right. That's all we got for today. I think we made it in decent amount of time. Like we didn't take the full 2 hours.
Nice.
Kim,
nice.
You get the last word.
Merry Christmas.
Ooh, I like it. Thanks, everybody. Have a good weekend. Bye. Danielle's waving bye. So's Kim.
You've been listening to Batchadamia with your hosts, Drs. Daniel Dick McGue and Bill Henniger. All opinions expressed on this show are solely the opinion of the person who spoke them. If you like our podcast, please consider following us, leaving us a 5-star rating, and a positive review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, please share with your friends, family, and other ardent Bachelor content lovers. If you have comments or questions you would like us to address on the show, you can email us at batchadamia@gmail.com or on the Twitter with the handle @batchadamia. Thanks for listening!